The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam. First Canto, Chapter Number 13, Text Number 22. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari. Recorded on January 1st, 2011, in Caroline Springs, Australia.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, First Canto, Chapter Number 13, Dhritarashtra Quits Home. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Te Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Antha,
Antha,
Pura,
Pura,
Eva,
Eva,
Vadira,
Vadira,
Manda,
Manda,
Pragya,
Pragya,
Cho,
Cho,
Sampratam,
Sampratam,
Vishirna,
Vishirna,
Danta,
Manda,
Manda, Agni,
Agni,
Sarago,
Sarago,
Kopham,
Kopham,
Udvahan,
Udvahan,
Anda Pariva Vadiro, Manda Pragyascha Sampratang, Vishirna Danto Mandagni, Saraga Kapam Udvahan,
Saraga Kapam Udvahan,
Andha Pariva Vadhiro,
Andha Pariva Vadhiro,
Manda Pragyascha Sampratang,
Manda Pragyascha Sampratang,
Vishirna Danto Mandagni, Saraga Kapam Udvahan, Andha,
blind.
Pura,
Pura,
from the beginning.
From the beginning.
Eva,
Eva,
certainly.
Certainly.
Vadhira,
Vadhira,
hard of hearing.
Hard of hearing.
Manda Pragya,
Manda Pragya,
memory shortened.
Memory shortened.
Cha,
and
Sampratam,
recently.
Vishirna,
Vishirna,
loosened.
Danta,
teeth.
Manda Agni,
liver action decreased.
Liver action decreased.
Saraga,
with sound.
Kapham,
coughing much mucus.
Udvahan,
coming out.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. You have been blind from your very birth, and recently you have become hard of hearing. Your memory is shortened and your intelligence is disturbed. Your teeth are loose, your liver is defective, and you're coughing up mucus. Purport. The symptoms of old age have already been, had already developed into Dhritarashtra. Were all one after another pointing out to him as warning that death was nearing very quickly. And still he was foolishly carefree about his future. The signs pointed out by Vidura in the body of Dhritarashtra were signs of apakshaya, or dwindling of the material body before the last stroke of death. The body is born, it develops, stays, creates other bodies, dwindles, and then vanishes. But foolish men want to make a permanent settlement of the perishable body and think that their estate, children, society, country, etc. will give them protection. With such foolish ideas, they became overtaken by such temporary engagements and forget altogether that they must give up this temporary body and take a new one, again to arrange for another term of society, friendship, and love, again to perish ultimately. They forget their permanent identity and become foolishly active for impermanent occupations, forgetting altogether their prime duty. Saints and sages like Vidura approach such foolish men to awaken them to the real situation, but they take such sadhus and saints as parasites of society, and almost all of them refuse to hear the words of such sadhus and saints, although they welcome these show-bottle sadhus and so-called saints who can satisfy their senses. Vidura was not a sadhu to satisfy the ill-gotten sentiment of Dhritarashtra. He was correctly pointing out the real situation of life and how one can save oneself from such catastrophes. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapara Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Padijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shiva Shakanvitamscha. So the fact is we need such saints as Vidura. That's a fact. We need such saints as Vidura. Even if their words are cutting. It wasn't pleasant to hear these cutting words. When you go to a doctor, do you go to a doctor to become flattered or do you want to know the truth?
Truth.
That's right. You want a doctor who will honestly tell you, my dear sir, I hate to inform you this, but you have cancer. And if you don't do something about it very quickly, you're going to die very soon. That didn't make your day, did it, to hear that from the doctor? Oh wow, what great news. I'm jumping and skipping out of the doctor's office. Wow, I have cancer. What wonderful news today I've gotten from the doctor. Are you happy and enlivened to hear it? No. But are you grateful? Yes. You're grateful. Because he has given you that information which can save your life. If you undergo the treatment, the stringent treatment right now, begin it immediately as soon as the doctor orders you to begin it, then what happens? You can beat the cancer. I know many devotees who've got cancer and beat it. There was one of my disciples in Bulgaria, his wife came down with cancer. Young woman. She fought it and won the fight. She beat the cancer. So, it may not be pleasant to hear that you have cancer. But it's actually, the intelligent person is grateful. This doctor has given me, this is a very good doctor. Because he's seen the cancer and he's told me what I have to do to get rid of it. So the sadhu, he is like doctor. If you think a sadhu is just for flattering, as Mahapad mentions here, they welcome the show-bottle sadhus, you see, and so-called saints who can satisfy their senses. Yes, blessings, 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 blessings. Whatever you do is okay. Just give me some dakshina and whatever you do is okay. You can gratify your senses all you want and here you have my blessings for a happy life of material sense enjoyment. Is that a bona fide spiritual master? I even heard that there was a Catholic priest. He was giving blessings to all the parishioners with his cigarette ashes and shaking all the ashes on them. You see. Oh, the Father Jones has blessed me today with his cigarette ashes, you see. Do you want a sadhu who's just going to flatter you and tell you, oh, you're doing so nice service. You're simply wonderful. Everything about you is wonderful. You have no faults. You're a pure devotee practically already. Whatever you do is perfect. Is that what you want? Is that the kind of sadhu you want? Who's just going to smile and say, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, everything you're doing is wonderful. You're so nice. Is that the kind of sadhu you want to associate with? We were hearing a class in Mumbai in Juhu Temple. And one devotee, he said, if there is a devotee who criticizes you, if there is a critic, a devotee who criticizes you, invite that devotee to come and live with you. That's the intelligent thing, you see. If you can find a devotee who criticizes you and duly, properly criticizes you and corrects you for things you're doing wrong, that's the devotee you should associate with very closely. Because that devotee, in that devotee's association, you can make very, very rapid advancement back to home, back to Godhead. But it takes some, if we say in English, it takes some guts to do that, you see. Because the fact is we don't like to be corrected. It's just our false egoistic nature. I don't want to be told I'm wrong. I mean, is anybody happy to be told they're wrong? Oh, it's wonderful, you told me I was wrong. Our natural nature is we don't want to be told we're wrong. See? It's our natural inclination. No one wants to be corrected. Just like nobody wants to be told they have cancer. But you need to have that doctor who can properly analyze your physical condition and can tell you when you actually have something, can accurately pinpoint for you that you have this disease. If the doctor can't even recognize it, he says, give me your doctor fee, your health is good, and then go home and have a good time. You see, that doctor is useless. You need a doctor who can see the disease, can accurately point out to you the disease. So similarly, we need sadhus who can accurately point out to us our faults. That's what we need. We need such sadhus. Because by their association, in fact, that word sadhu, you know the other meaning of the word sadhu? It means saint. You know the other meaning of sadhu? It means cut. It means cut. Sadhu means the one who cuts through the hard knot in the heart. Hridaya granthi. There's one story I read one time about, there was in Europe, there was this huge knot. This incredibly injurious, a huge knot. Nobody could untie it. All the most intelligent, gifted persons came and nobody could untie that knot. You see, it was. Then one person came with a sword and went, whoosh, finished the knot, you see. So the sadhu, he's the one who wields the very sharp sword of transcendental knowledge. That sadhu can go whoosh, through the hard knot in our heart. And cut through all of those inertias, you see. We studied in our retreat. Everybody remembers the retreat? We studied Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Anartha Navitti, Bhajana Kriya, Anartha Navitti. Anartha Navitti is a very, very difficult stage to pass through. This is when you have to give up all your bad habits, all your bad mentalities. And we're attached to these ways. You see, I'm attached to my certain attitude I have about myself, a certain style of doing things. We're attached to them. And let's face the reality. I'm attached to thinking in a certain way and acting a certain way. And if you come here and tell me it's wrong, my first result is to be offended. My first natural response is to be offended. If you tell me my attitude is wrong and the way I'm doing things is wrong, what? You see, what do you mean it's wrong? You see, that's our first reaction. And we may get angry. This is why devotees sometimes get angry when they're corrected. Instead of using their intelligence to realize this person is actually benefiting me in my Krishna consciousness, they just let the mind jump in and say, what? What are you talking about? Or just, I ignore you. You see? So we have to learn how to take full advantage of saintly, great saintly teachers like Vidura. We can see actually Dhritarashtra did that. He was so attached to his position in the palace, even though what was the use of him? His sons had been, he was being honored as a senior in the palace. But what had he done? He tried to, who was honoring him? His very nephews that he tried to kill and banish. Just see how much etiquette the Pandavas had. Dhritarashtra with his son had tried to banish these people forever, but they were so tolerant and forgiving, they let him stay in the palace and they were honoring him as a senior. You see? And he was attached to that position in the palace. You see? He wasn't taking his self-realization. Even though it was a shameful, embarrassing position to be in, he was attached to being honored in the palace. So Adira came along and said, look, you know, this is ridiculous. Your body's falling apart. You're blind from birth. Now you're losing your hearing. You're coughing up mucus. It's time to take to the self-realization path. And he did it. He entered the forest along with Gandhari as the Vanaprastha. And he achieved, if not pure bhakti, at least he achieved some degree of self-realization. Because he realized this saintly teacher, Vidura, his cutting words are actually for my benefit. Actually for my benefit. So we have to learn a very good lesson from Dhritarashtra. And that is, if I'm being corrected by a senior devotee, I shouldn't just ignore it or try to argue against it. I should understand this is Krishna's kindness. This is Krishna is kindly manifesting as Vidura. Actually, Vidura, it's a whole interesting story. You know the story of Vidura? He was Yamaraj. He's actually Yamaraj. But there was one Muni. I forget now just his name. Mandaka Muni or something like that. Huh? Yeah. So there was some thieves and they got arrested. And somehow or other, Mandaka Muni was arrested along with them. There's a type of punishment, a very heavy type of punishment, where they put you to death by sticking a rod, by lowering you over a cane up your anus. It's a very heavy punishment. Very hellish way to be killed. They put a cane and then they lower you up to your anus and they put you on that cane, like impaling you on this cane through the anus. Very heavy death. So they were getting ready to put the Muni to death for something he wasn't even guilty of. It was a mistake. The legal authorities made a mistake. They get ready to impale him on a cane, you see. And then the king heard about it. Oh, a great saint being punished in this way? Immediately released him. So he had released. But then he approached Yamaraj. Why I was put to the point of almost being put to death? I've lived a saintly life. What is this? He said, but as a little boy, you one time pierced the anus of an ant with a thorn. So this was your reaction. So the Muni said, this is not proper. A little child, he may do something, but he's not acting out of malice, just in his foolishness as a little child, he may do something. So he said, I curse you. He cursed Yamaraj to become a Shudra. So Yamaraj took birth as Vidura. The king, he would sometimes have sexual relationships with the palace maidens. So with such relationship, Vyasadeva, but it was they put the wrong woman, I forget that story, but they put the wrong woman there. Wasn't it? Someone substituted, the maid was substituted for someone else. And he impregnated her, and so Vidura came out.
Yeah, one of the wives of Vijitavirya.
Yeah. So anyway, that's a whole other story, interesting story from the Mahabharata. But anyway, Vidura came out, and he didn't have the full status as a prince because of the way he was born, but he was still part of the royal family. He actually got banished by Duryodhana, banished because he was always giving very good advice. Those cutting words, you see. He was getting those cutting words and Duryodhana couldn't handle it. He said, get out. I banish you from the palace. So he was actually banished because he was always giving good, actually it was good advice, but sometimes it was cutting, you see. We shouldn't think that if cutting words are bad because they're cutting. Cutting words is sometimes the best possible thing we can hear. Sometimes the very best possible thing we can hear. So anyway, but now after the whole thing is done, Duryodhana is finished, now he's come back again. Is he giving this advice to Dhritarashtra? Very, very good advice. And because of it, he actually achieved a level of self-realization in the forest. So this Vidura actually, it was a very nice opportunity for him. Even though he was one of the GBCs, Prabhupada said like that. He said, the 12 Mahajans, they are Krishna's GBC men. So even though he's one of the GBCs of Krishna's GBCs, he couldn't preach. He was, the GBC men, they like to preach, you see. But he couldn't preach because he's absorbed, totally absorbed in punishing all the sinful people. And how many sinful people are there in this world? They're filled with sinful people, thousands and millions of sinful people. And he has to manage all the punishment of all these sinful people, you see. Can you imagine having your duty to punish all the sinful people, even in Melbourne? What an awesome task that would be. Even in this neighborhood, if you had to punish all the people in this neighborhood for all their sins. Prabhupada said, Yamaraj has a book, he's noting down all the sins. If you had to keep track of the sins of everybody just in this neighborhood, even just on this little street here, you had to keep track of all the sins of all the people in this little street and then administer punishment to them. What to speak of in the whole material world. What an awesome task he has, Yamaraj. So actually, he took this curse as a great blessing. But now I get to get out, I get to give up, you know, do some preaching. Get out of here and do some, get out of Yamaloka and do some preaching for a while. He took it as a great blessing. So Vidura, being Yamaraj himself, one of the 12 great Mahajanas, he preached very, very nicely. Even though his words appear to be very cutting sometimes, it's actually the best possible advice that you could get to become fixed up in Krishna consciousness. So in this way, we have to appreciate cutting remarks. Sometimes they're a challenge for us. I know when I remember the first day I was a young, my younger days, the first time I spent the night at the temple in San Francisco, I chanted one round of japa. Now this was the second time at a little duplex in Dallas, 5108 Mission Street, the downstairs part. We spent the night with the devotees there. There was going to be a big festival that day in Lee Park. And we all went over to, in those days there was no japa beads from India. You had to make your own. To get your japa beads, you string your own japa beads. So we went to a hobby store called Tandy Leather Company. And they sold beads. So we went there and bought some beads. And I came back and strung my beads. I chanted my first 16 rounds that day. Never stopped after that. But I told Vishnujana Swami, I said, I would like, tell him I wanted to get into Krishna consciousness now. And instead of flattering me, oh, that's very nice. I was surprised. He made a cutting remark. He said, what I'm afraid of is easy come and easy go. I was shocked. I thought he'd give me a nice, wonderful, appreciative remark. Oh, it's so wonderful. They called me Steve Prabhu because I had done 10 BTGs one day. That's so wonderful, Steve Prabhu, that now you want to take this process seriously. But he said, instead of that, he cut me. He said, what I'm afraid of is easy come, easy go. But I realized, why did he make a cutting remark? Instead of flattering me and buttering me up that, oh, it's so nice that you're chanting, he made a cutting remark. I was surprised. Why did he make a cutting remark? But I respected him as a great saintly teacher. I was trying to figure out, why did he make a cutting remark? But later on I realized that's challenging me, you see. It's a challenge. Let's see if you can do it or not, you see. Let's see if you can do it or not. And then I have to prove to him that I can do it. So it was a blessing. Let's see if you're really man enough to pull it off. You see what he was cutting, but it's actually a challenge. Okay, let's see if you're really man enough to pull this off, you know. Let's see if you can really do it or not. You said you're going to take up this process now. Let's see if you can really do it. Let's see if you're a tough enough guy to pull it off, you see. So actually it was a great blessing that he made a cutting remark instead of just flattering. You say, oh, that's so nice. No, let's see if you can really do it. You see, that was good. Then I had to prove to him my false ego, you know. All right, I'm going to prove to you that I can do it. It's the false ego gets dovetailed in Krishna's service now all of a sudden. You know, I made a claim about myself, and he says, well, I don't really know if you can do that, you see. The false ego is, well, but now the false ego is dovetailed in Krishna consciousness. And now I have to prove to you that I can do it, you see. So I actually took it as it was a great blessing. My pride didn't want to be defeated, so now, even out of pride, now I have to show you that, yes, I can become a fixed-up devotee. You see? It's a matter of pride, you see. So in this way, it was actually a great blessing that he made a cutting remark instead of flattering remark. Yes?
How did you feel at that point of moment?
How did I feel when he made the cutting remark?
I have to make a cutting remark here right now. Did you open for questions and answers?
Yes.
Yeah. You asked
that? Yeah, Norm. Yeah, that's a fact. Actually, the etiquette is, and you wait until the speaker is finished. Mataji's made a cutting remark now, you see. The etiquette is, you wait until the speaker is finished lecturing and ask for questions. But I'll remember your question when we get to that point. So, in this way, we have to learn to appreciate the advantage of saintly teachers. Even if they become angry at us, and that's stated by Prabhupada in his purport, even if that saintly teacher, that brahmana, becomes angry at us, what should our reaction be? Should we get angry back or just try to ignore them? To get away from, no. Prabhupada says, if a Brahman becomes angry, then with sweet words and a smiling face, you must pacify them. It doesn't mean a superficial sweet word and a smiling face, like. No, it means a genuine mood of love and submission. From within your heart, you must have a sweet smile within your heart, not just on the face, you know. But you must actually feel that loving feeling in your heart that this person has corrected me, this person is angry at me, I must have done something wrong, so now let me sincerely try to appreciate this person's kindness upon me and try to rectify my position in such a way that they're happy. When a Brahman becomes angry, you have to make them happy. Don't get angry back. Try to make them happy. That's the key. So now I will open it up for questions. And your question was, how did I feel when he said that? I didn't get angry. Because I had great faith in Vishnujana Swami that he was a great saintly teacher. And I knew he was very, very saintly, and I knew that. I just couldn't quite figure out why he said it. I was a little bit puzzled. But over time I realized it was puzzling why he said that. But I never thought he had said something wrong. I was thinking, well, maybe I won't really make it. I was thinking like that. Maybe I won't, but I have to make it. It's like I reassessed my statement. I was claiming that now I was going to make it, you know. I reassessed it. Maybe I said that prematurely. Maybe I'm not really ready yet to do this, what I just said I was going to do. But now that I've said it, I have to do it. I have to be able to, I've made my claim. Now I have to, I said I was going to do this, now I have to do it. You know, I was always trained to be a man of my word, you know. When you give your word, you keep your word. So, it was puzzling, but it didn't bewilder me. It really did was it increased my feelings of determination, which was Krishna's arrangement that he said that. Now my feelings of determination have increased. I have to be more determined now to actually abide by what I just said I was going to do, and that is to take up this process. I have to be more determined now. Any other question?
Gurudev, as I understand, to achieve the level of self-realization, devotional service is required.
No, there's Brahman realization also.
And but what is that self-realization?
Dhritarashtra?
Dhritarashtra or Buddha or other great personalities?
It's described, as I remember, I haven't read the portion lately, but as I remember he realized impersonal Brahman. There is impersonal Brahman realization. There's Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Three different levels.
So in these cases, when somebody sits under the tree or goes to forest, so then just meditate, and then they achieve this Brahman realization.
No, they're not competent to do penances and austerities as the sages did in previous times. They're not competent to do such penances and austerity. I forget exactly. I had to look it up. I know he achieved some kind of realization. I can look it up after the class. He didn't achieve the topmost level. He achieved a certain level of self-realization. I remember that distinctly. The details of that I cannot.
So then, it is important to understand that the term self-realization. It doesn't mean the same thing. Ultimate self-realization
is Krishna consciousness. That's why I call my course Ultimate Self-Realization Course. Mm. Because there are three levels of self-realization. Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. Bhagavan realization or Krishna consciousness is the ultimate self-realization. But the Paramatma is also considered self-realization. Prabhupada says that Brahman realization is perfect realization of the Absolute Truth. And Paramatma realization is more perfect realization of the Absolute Truth. And Bhagavan realization is the most perfect realization of the Absolute Truth. So there's perfect self-realization, more perfect self-realization, and most perfect self-realization. We're interested in the most perfect self-realization. Factually speaking, in this age now of the Kali Yuga, the other types of self-realization are practically impossible to achieve anyway. They're not even worth messing with. But one can, in one lifetime, achieve the most perfect self-realization of Krishna consciousness. If you take this process of Krishna consciousness, as explained in Prabhupada's book so wonderfully, if he takes it very seriously. Any other questions? Yeah.
When we do some sin, we go to Yamaloka to suffer. So, who is going to suffer, the soul or the body?
The body is not suffering. You leave your body behind. You go in your subtle body. The body is just a machine. If somebody takes a hammer and bashes in your car, does the car suffer any pain? No. You do. When you look out and see your car just got bashed in, oh no, you suffer pain. So the body cannot suffer pain. The gross nor the soul of the body does not suffer. It's the jiva who misidentifies with the body suffers the pain.
Gurudev, but the example which you have given before, the muni was like they put the hot rod or something. But what is like his body has been materialistic body. It's materialistic body only, right? Gurudev, they are using the term to give him that punishment. When the body is left here, the materialistic body is left.
Yeah.
But how come he's getting that punishment?
It's not appropriate for a sage to be punished like them. It's an offense. For something innocent thing he did as a little child, he's a Krishna, a great saintly person, should be punished in that way. It's not proper. It's not a question of the pain, it's a question of it's completely improper thing for the government to punish such a saintly person.
Gurudev, but once he left the body in this bhuloka, when you go back to narkloka and yamaloka, he retained the same body, or like what, he just had his spiritual soul?
Generally, one goes back, one leaves the gross body behind, although sometimes the material body can, one can go back to Godhead in one's material body, which becomes transformed into a spiritual body. That happens sometimes.
When this sage, he was supposed to leave the material body, then one goes to the heavenly planet after giving the material body. But the sages can go in the self-same body. They don't have to give up the material body.
So Vaikuntha, not the heavenly planet.
No, heavenly planet. Yamaraj is in heavenly planet. He's not in Vaikuntha planet.
It's heavenly?
Yeah. Heavenly.
Or hellish planet?
Yamaraj is in higher planet. Let us put higher planet.
Okay.
So the sages and people who are greatly advanced in all this yoga practice, they can go in the self. Just like Durvasa Muni even went up to Vaikuntha. So they go in this material body. So they can be seen as punished or not. That answers your question.
Okay, any other questions? Yeah.
Gurudev, how does a subtle body sense punishment?
Subtle body, the body itself, how can you be punished in your subtle body?
Yes.
You ever had a nightmare? Okay, there you go. In the nightmare, you're situated in your subtle body, and that subtle body, you experience a nightmare, which is a very hellish thing. So that means in the subtle body, you're going through punishment. The nightmare means punishment for sinful activities. You're being punished for sinful activities. Nightmare is a reaction for previous sins. And that's experienced in the subtle body. Yes.
Gurudev, in terms of our etiquettes, manners, and personal behaviors, sometimes the line between what seems correct and what is incorrect can be really fine and not clear. And at that time, we make our best judgment and take that action. So whilst we might have actually tried our level best to do the right thing at that time, but if that is not the right thing, obviously we get criticized and we learn from there. But what's the best way actually to to decide what is the right thing when it comes.
Well, that's whenever you have the association of advanced devotees, you should be very humble and try to do as much service as you can for them, and then and be very open to seeing to any corrections you receive from them. That's the key. Do as much service as possible and be totally open to be corrected, whatever is not being done correctly, and that way you can learn. Should always try to serve senior devotees as much as we can, and then whatever the guidelines we receive while we're doing that, we should take that as a great treasure, because that will help us to learn how to have the right attitude, how to just have the proper speech, and how to have the proper actions. Yes?
Wouldn't it be best idea that you can reveal your mind instead of committing mistake and doing the wrong thing? Reveal your mind what you want to do to the senior person and then ask for suggestion, is this all right? Wouldn't that be the more?
Yes, that's very good. Certainly, yeah. Check with them. If you're not sure, check with them.
Just like, for example, last night he made the...
Yeah, he made a really... his announcement was... He's not expert to make the announcement.
His enthusiasm was good.
Enthusiasm is good. But he...
In his enthusiasm, he was making foolish mistakes.
Yeah. Yeah, just like we have one devotee here who's very expert at making announcements, and that's Gurdas. So instead of you announcing, Gurdas should have been the one to announce.
Even he can make announcements, but he should have taken the guidance.
Take guidance on how to make the announcement, yeah. Yeah.
But Gurdas also is the expert in making announcements. He comes and asks.
Yes, he still asks how I should make the announcement,
yes.
Yeah.
He's very expert, but I know that during the Vyasa Puja, I know that he comes and asks me
how to make the announcements.
What I should say.
Yeah. So, yeah, the best thing is before you do something, especially like making a public announcement at a program, is to check with Mataji and see exactly what should be said and what should not be said, huh?
He can ask you.
Or myself also. Check with either of us and make sure that you're covering the right points. I mean, in some places they have a whole written, they'll give me a whole written script. They says, this is what we're going to announce. Is this suitable? They'll show me in writing what they're going to announce before they say it. Now they just get up and start talking. But they'll have the whole thing written down and they'll get approval. If this is it, read it over and see if you approve of it before we announce them. You know, I remember in some temples they've done that.
Instead
of making it.
I know she did it this morning. She knows how to make a mark, but then she came to ask me again.
It's always good to make doubly sure when you don't know of something, ask. Instead of doing it the wrong way and then being embarrassed and being discouraged, perhaps. The best thing is to go ahead and double check with myself or with Mataji and see that it's being done correctly before you do it. That's the best thing. Okay. Anything else?
I've got two follow-on questions.
Okay.
The first one was the example that I actually had in mind that I wanted to put forward was when we take him to the temple or to home programs or to Bhakti Vrikshas or to Srila Prabhupada's room. Sometimes the instructions that's given on feeding kids in the room could be conflicting. So for instance, one senior devotee could tell us that feeding in Srila Prabhupada's room during the lectures is absolutely not allowed. Whereas someone else might say, actually it's a good idea to keep them feeding because that way they won't be noisy.
Yeah, well, if they have a strong policy about not eating in Prabhupada's room, then what can you do? Either you have, it's a fact that little children, if you give them a little prasadam during the lecture, that can keep them, that's very good, and we've seen that practically. It's a very good technique for a little child of being peaceful and calm. If he can nibble on a little prasadam, He stays very happy and he's sitting there absorbing the Krishna Katha. So, but if the local authorities, you can explain to the local authorities the situation and see if you get an exemption. Policies are set by managers, and managers are persons. And persons can make exceptions to certain rules. So you can always ask for an exemption from the policy. And I would like to request a special exemption, Prabhu. And this is the reason. And if they still say no, then you can look for some other alternative. Including not attending the program in Prabhupada's room. You have to just see what the other alternatives would be. But you can always request an exemption.
Well, first thing, I have a suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
So not that you feed the child, you give them the prasadam that the kids can eat themselves and not make a mess. And the second suggestion would be that if they strictly avoid that, especially Prabhupada's room, so if the manager says no, then we can sit by the door.
Yeah. Let's sit right out in the hall. It's right outside the door.
Sometimes it's not practical in winter.
Huh?
It's not practical, then you should give him the fruits or something that he don't like. That he can personally deny instead of feeding with a spoon.
Or the porch also. There's a porch that opens. There's a door there on the porch out there. If you could sit on the porch.
I mean, the point was it was more of an example rather than that particular.
Huh?
That was an example I was trying to put
forward. Yeah.
When it could be unclear how to behave in that circumstance. Yeah. Because the other follow-on question I had was sometimes when we have inquired with someone and they have a particular preference, and we try to make effort to meet that preference, but in the meantime that preference might have changed. But we are actually structuring our actions based on this preference. But if that is not communicated to us, then our
behavior
will be...
He's saying like some instruction they have taken something and then after doing preparations then it changed again. Then in that circumstance, so what is it's not clear and they go ahead and do it.
The policy changes?
Yeah.
Give them a new person in charge or something like that?
No. Maybe with the same intervention.
Just like in business, a businessman, he always has to keep abreast of the government laws which are constantly changing in order to stay legal. It's like every year the tax laws change and you have to consult with someone who knows what the current laws are so you can remain in harmony with the laws. You have to stay current. If policy's changing, you have to stay current with the policy. So you remain in compliance. Does that answer the question?
Yes.